Dear friends, let us turn in the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 6. And the text that we want to think about are verses 6 through to 11. It speaks about God's amazing creation. This passage teaches and preaches a continual sermon, as it were, the creation of God preaches and teaches a continual sermon about God's power. So you look around you. You look at the sky, you look at the heavens, you go and stand at the edge of a cliff and see the creation. It is preaching something to you of the glory of God and the power of God and the majesty of God. And throughout the Bible, if you are a Bible reader, I trust you are, you will notice that many of God's creatures are mentioned, from the animal kingdom and insects and trees and all sorts of things are referred to, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and their uses and even prophecies concerning them. In the Old Testament, we read about the Messiah would come into Jerusalem sitting upon an ass. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke about a rooster, the cockerel that will make a noise. We read of a donkey speaking in the book of Numbers to Balaam. And here in Proverbs, there are mentions of many different creatures of God. God mentions several special members of animal kingdom and insects, and that they're speaking divine sermons to us. And in this passage, which concerns us this morning, it concerns the little ant. God is speaking here to us, and he says, listen, go to the ant, he says, thou sluggard. He says, those of you who are being lazy, those of you who have been idle and careless, and those of you who can't stick to anything, you easily give up things, those of you who you can't, you're not really productive, you're not achieving things, real things in your life, you ought to go and just watch an ant. You go to the ant, thou sluggard. And so we could think that this applies to every person here from time to time, to me, to you, or times that we are very lazy about things. So this fits all of us. Now I'd like you to look at this passage for a few minutes, and I believe that there is much that we can learn from this, the little ant that is described here. And I believe that there is a great lesson for both Christians and also for those who are not true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you feel yourself that you're far from God, this is a message for you as well. If you have not come to trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is a message for you. There is a spiritual laziness that this verse deals with. And so by way of introduction, let me say that the ant is the most successful of all social insects. It is gives us a picture of a person who is spiritually alive, whose life shows reality and progress inwardly and outwardly. The ants are busy. So it's speaking about life. There are over 11,000 different kinds of species of ants in this world, what they have been able to index. They live in colonies from just a handful to something in the region of 20 million. There are so many, many ants that people estimate. But with these things in our minds, with these thoughts about this little ant that we think is very insignificant, let's notice some facts about the ant that the Lord speaks to us about. Those little creatures have a lot to teach us about what it means to live for God, what it is also to be careless about our soul. And so it says the sluggard ought to go to the ant. And so the message that I want to speak to you this morning is the needful work of the soul. The needful work of the soul. And I have two points. The first point is longer than the second one, as often is the case. But the first is simply the work of the ant. And we want to think about the dependence, the productivity, the persistence and the purpose of the ant in its work. But also, secondly, the wisdom of ants. The way they provide for this life and how they prepare for the future. So it's very simple. The first is the work of the ant. There are many people who may be very hard-working people, very knowledgeable people in their jobs, very skillful. And they are very busy people. But when they begin to be challenged about their soul, about their walk with God, there seems to be no life in them. There is no activity going on. There's no real activity. There seems to be nothing or only superficial things about faith and about forgiveness of sins. But here the Lord says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And dear friends, you think about the ant's work, and it has various angles to the work of the ant, and there are various angles to our soul's salvation as well in Jesus Christ, and what that brings about. It brings about certain characteristics to the soul. So let's look at this, the work of the ant. The ant's work is in partnership, or the ant works in dependence. Think about the ant's work. We could say there is love involved. They work in love. Ants do not fight. Ants wait for one another. When you begin to study the life of an ant, it is very interesting. A lazy man, a sluggard that is described here, has very little genuine love. If you see a lazy person, they don't really have genuine love. He doesn't love those around him. He doesn't want to provide. He is always busy about something, but he's not really providing for himself, for his family. He doesn't help. And a person who is sluggard, spiritually speaking, and remember the Bible is a spiritual book, speaks about our soul. A person who is lazy about spiritual things has no real love for certain people, has no real love for God, has no real love for Jesus Christ. He's not understood that what Jesus Christ has done out of love for us sinners, that great work that he did, how he was punished instead of us upon the cross. Christian's life must be a life of love. Christians are loved by God, and they, in response, they love God as well. They're motivated by Jesus Christ's love. They love one another. They love their enemies, as our Lord Jesus Christ said. They love the lost. This is what we read in the first epistle of John, chapter 4 and verse 7. We read, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The Lord Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So we see in the life of the ant, they don't fight. In their busy life, they help one another. They are helpful. The ants, when they fall into some danger, they send out signals to others. They warn them. They also come for help for one another. They help to carry burdens. They help the injured neighbors. They rescue those that are buried. And so Solomon here, he says, you ought to go and watch. You ought to go and be wise and look at the ant for yourself. See and observe God's creation, and it speaks sermons to you, teaches you things. But dear friends, sinners are in a great danger. But then, those who have come to their senses, they are calling upon the Lord. They want to talk to Christians. They are reading the Bible. They want to find out more about what it is to be rescued from the punishment of sin and what it is to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are actively involved. They want to help others to find as well the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to share the message of salvation with others. So ants are helpful, but the sluggards are not helpful. They're very selfish. They talk about themselves. They think of themselves only. But then the ant's work is productive. The ant's work is productive. He says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, provides her food in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest." They are productive. They have all, we could say, a volunteering kind of service. They have no guide. Each ant works. Thousands of ants may dwell in one ant colony, but every one of them pulls their own weight, as it were. They are working. There are even, if you have read about it, as I had to, there are soldier ants. And they go about, their purpose of life is to kill those ants that are lazy and are not doing anything, who refuse to work, which is, of course, an intense incentive to stay active. But my friends, what about us? Are we a people who are spiritually alive and spiritually productive, even your faith? Or do we have the faith of a devil? The devils believe, the Bible says, but they are not active in the things of God. James tells us this, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." You see, when God changes your heart and my heart, He makes us a very productive people. And it's not that we are working to get right with God, but God changes our hearts and makes us alive unto Jesus Christ. There are many people who are so helpful to others around them. They work in charity shops. They help this and that person. They are writing nice things and messages to their friends. They are writing little notes of encouragement on people's social media pages or texting friends. Yet, there is nothing when it comes to their own soul. They have lulled themselves into a state that they seem to be happy without knowing forgiveness of their sins. They say, I don't need that. I'm quite happy the way I am, without wanting to know God who has made them. They are happy without God. They don't want to serve anybody other than themselves. They don't worship Him. They have no words of love to tell Him. They're not thankful, really. So you might go into a restaurant, you might go and have a picnic in a park, and you see individuals on the park bench and at their table. And what do you find? Are people bowing their heads in thanksgiving to God, who has provided them all the things, the strength and their health and the food? Jesus spoke about those who are ready to go and see to their father and mother, more concerned about their family, who are more ready to turn back to show some kind of kindness to others than following Him first. And He says, they are not my true disciples. They are not worthy of me. But another thing that we know about the ants is they work continually, all day. No pay, no promotion, no thanks, no pat on the back, no certificates, no rewards, and yet they work. So Solomon says, you go and listen, you go and watch, you go and learn from the ant. Ants never get mad, they never quit, and they never go on strike. They're working. And you think about this, the spiritual side of it, those who have no thought or those who are following philosophies and ideas that does not want to trust in the work of Jesus Christ to pay for our sins, they find some excuse. They go and strike against God. They find something. They find some fault with Christians or with churches, and they find some fault with the Bible. And so they won't bother in seeking the Lord. They're not really active. They don't continue. Even for a little while, they may come up like that seed that fell upon the thorny ground. It came up, but then the cares of this world choked that seed. Let me say a word to the Christians, dear friends. Believers ought to serve and worship and live and be useful for the Lord in spite of whatever discourages them. Maybe this morning you're discouraged. Maybe you're unhappy about certain things. But my friends, we are here to praise our God. We are here to worship God. We are not here for ourselves. So take your eyes off from yourself and think about what Christ has done and who He is. And let us not be weary in well-doing, the Bible says. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What do you find if you are a person who have at times carelessly destroyed an anthill? What do you find quickly? You find all of these ants coming together, trying to rebuild it again. Together, they're pulling together in the rebuilding. Dear friends, if you're a Christian, you ought to be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of all of your failures and all of your faults, you're depending upon His work, and whatever happens, seeking to follow Him still. You're continuing in this way. Something else, dear friends. One of the lessons we can take from this is the fact that there is plenty to do, but no workers. Our soul needs to be saved from the wrath of God, but nothing much is being happening in some people's hearts. Work must be done in our hearts. And you have to say to yourself, well, I can't change my own heart, but God can. So the only thing that you can do is to cry out to Him. Do you do that? Seek Him with all your heart. Don't be trusting in yourself and your own understanding. But sadly, many people are not interested. They don't want to know. They don't see the dangers. And so the Lord is saying, go to the ant. The ant sees quickly the danger. The ant seeks to quickly collect itself and get on with the tasks. I remember an old lady at the open air outreach. As soon as she heard us preaching about forgiveness of sins, she says, you're all fools. Another man, he said that he had nothing to worry about because he did his best in life. And he said that was good enough for him and it was good enough for God. There is no sense of lostness in so many people's hearts. No sense of desperation. There is no sense of eternity or having to stand before a just and holy God. There is indifference and ease are the cause of these things. Some people just don't care, and there is a great work to be done in them. Dear friends, our apathy is killing us. The entertainment industry that we are soaked in, it distracts our minds from eternal things. So think on these things, dear friends. Ants' work is persistence. Persistent as well. The Apostle Paul's motto was this. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived, he says. I've not grasped and got there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's what I'm doing. I'm grasping after Jesus Christ. I want to have Him. Is that you, dear friends? Do you keep going? Or are things stopping you? Do you keep going when there are times of danger? Or as soon as something happens, you say, no, this is too dangerous. This is too risky. But the greatest risk that we take is when we don't deal with our own soul, when we don't care for our own soul. The ant's work also has purpose. Purpose put in by God. The ants know their purpose. They know their goal. God's creatures know their purpose for which God has created them. What about us? What about you? Do we know our purpose? Why are we here? What am I to do in my life and with my life? Living a purposeless life? Is that what we live? Going from day to day, just trying to pass exams, trying to find certain jobs, falling in and out of things and going from this to that. Spiritually blowing hot and cold, not really seeking, not really praying, not really finding God. Yet God made us to know Him, dear friends. To love and to worship and to serve Him. To know that this world is His. He made us to get all and be satisfied in Him alone. Anything less, and that's why the majority of people are seeking after other things. They're not satisfied. Anything less than God and His salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, it would mean that we would have no aim. We are rudderless. We are aimless. We are purposeless. And how sad that is. So there is the work of the ant. And the Lord is saying, you ought to be looking at the ant. You ought to learn from the ant. So next time when you see the ant, and as the warmer weathers are coming and you see the ants everywhere at times outside, you think about this. The ant is busy. It's productive. And God said, I need to learn from the ant. But then there is wisdom. It says this, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. There is wisdom in the ant. You see, what the ant does, it makes provision for his life and this life. They're organized. It says there that it provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And then it says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? Well, when wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little falling of the hands to sleep, he says. If you study the colonies of the ants, you would find that it's like a modern city. There are streets and there are all kinds of rooms and various barracks and all sorts of things. And the Lord is saying, be wise like the ant. Prepare, my friends. Prepare for today. You think about the words of the Lord, how He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why is that? That is a person who has been walking with God today. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I know Him now. I will not want in future. I have no need in the future. The Lord is there for me. We don't need many things, many of the things that we think we need. Our greatest need is to know God, to know forgiveness of sins, and to have this eternal life which the Lord Jesus Christ offers to us. To understand that Jesus Christ died to pay the price of our sins, and that if we are in Him, then all is well. To have this close, Spirit-filled walk with God. To know that we need Him and what He can give us more than anything this world might offer us. Dear friends, do you think on these things? Are you making provision in this life, spiritually speaking? These ants also, they make preparations for the future. They store all they can while they can. You know, there's a difference between ants and grasshoppers. You can learn things from grasshoppers too. The grasshoppers are opposite. They make no preparations. And when the winter comes, they all die. Ants, on the other hand, believe in winter and by instinct they prepare for it. Are you an ant or are you a grasshopper? You won't always have the opportunities that you have. You won't always have the opportunities to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to this place and to hear the gospel, to even have the strength to have a Bible in your hand, to have a sight and understanding, to be able to read and to be able to understand. You won't always have these things, these abilities to understand the gospel. So our time is limited. And that's why these things are brought to you again and again. Because we spend so much of the week on so many other things. And every Sunday, we are recalibrating. We are going back to the basics again. People prepare for this life. You all prepare for this life. You have savings, I trust. You have insurances. You have your retirement maybe sorted out somewhat. What about death? What about eternity? Men do believe in life after death, but so many do not do anything about it. And yet you need to, and I need to be ready, and God has made a way for us to be ready. And that is through the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the Son of God. Jesus Christ, who is the only one who can save you and me. Spiritually lost people here this morning, they are not ready. And the scripture says again and again to us, words such as this, prepare to meet thy God. To not be means eternal separation and hell. And many scoff at these things. Many delay these things. Many neglect these things. But judgment does neither of these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ said these words, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What a wonderful thing this is. If you're a child of God, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you already have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Dear Christians, if you are going to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ, the time to do it is now. The time to do it is now. Sometimes even Christians get into this mindset that if I only do these things after I finish this, after I get this job, after I finish this project, after I do these other things, then I will get on and do something for God, or I will begin to read my Bible more closely, or I will pray more, and I will preach and witness and build up and visit and make right things with other Christians. My friends, the time is now. Don't wait for another week. Don't wait to put things right with your fellow brothers and sisters in a month's time. It may not come. You'll be busy with other things. So that's something else that we learn from this end. They're preparing. They're thinking ahead. They're thinking what they ought to do. When the winter comes, they need to be ready. And when the winter of your life comes, my friends, you and I need to be ready. So in conclusion, there is a great spiritual poverty to those who are in a spiritual slumber. If you are being sluggard about your soul, you're in poverty. So what this message is saying to you and me is to wake up, dear friends. Wake up. Listen to the scriptures. Listen to the ant. Go to the ant. And learn and be wise. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He told to the Roman believers. And he said to these people who were hearing the messages, he said to them in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, he said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, that is lusts, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And dear friends, seek the help that you need from the Lord Jesus. Sin does not sleep, dear friends. It will make you sleep. But sin doesn't sleep. Like rot and like mold, it will make progress in your soul. And then it will result in eternal death. Satan is not lazy. Satan is never sleeping. He's active at all times in this world and is destroying the lives of many people, enslaving sinners. But praise God, God doesn't sleep. He does not sleep nor slumbers, the Bible says. And that's a great comfort to us because we can go to him. When you can't sleep and you wish you could go to sleep, you can go to him and pray. God is awake. God sees all things, knows you deeply. But also, there is a fearful thing in this too. God doesn't sleep. His justice and his judgment doesn't sleep. Christ is coming again, dear friends. And when he comes, he will judge the world in righteousness. Everyone will be awakened then. But the lost, those who are lost spiritually, will have no more chance to repent or be saved. So I would like to think that we are at least as wise as the ant. Are we? Ask yourself these questions. Have I made any preparation for the future? Am I right with God? And have I come to love Jesus Christ and know that his work is the only thing that will satisfy God on my behalf? Am I ready to meet the holy God? Am I depending only on Jesus Christ for my salvation? Have I gathered all the provisions I need to walk for God today? The provision of prayer, the provision of the Bible, the provision of fellowship with God and fellowship with believers. Are these the things that are gathered? Am I doing the work of Christ, the things that he saved me to do? Is my purpose in life the glory of God and having my pleasure in his salvation? The final words of warning are given in this text. He says in verse 9, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? May it be today. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Dear friends, there is much positive things to learn from the ant. And there is so much blessing we have, dear friends, in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be busy concerning our soul and concerning the glory of God.